So last term we looked at Jesus said what, and so we looked at all, not all, but a lot of the passages that are in the New Testament that particularly Jesus himself had spoken. So if you've got a Bible that has the red writing in it, those are the words from Jesus himself. And so this term we are looking at the Holy Spirit, and which I think fits really nice. So what does the Holy Spirit look like and mean for us as Christians? And we're using the Francis Chan material as a guide for us to help us explore that and look at what that means for us. And I guess, why do we need to do this? And I was thinking about this and praying with this with the pastoral team. Why is it such an important thing for us to understand the Holy Spirit in our Christian lives? And I guess for me, I go back and look at my journey in my Christian life. And, you know, I didn't become a Christian until I was in my teens. And then I went to a church called Open Main Mission Hall, where I met Nicole, where Nicole was at. And, you know, at that church, we had the fire and brimstone preachers. We had the William brothers preaching to us, if anyone knows who I'm talking about, Alwyn and Seth, preaching to us, and some other men preaching the fire and brimstone, repent, you sinner, which was great. You know, I actually really enjoyed it. I didn't feel necessarily good after each service, but it was a great way to start. But this thing called the Holy Spirit was never spoken about. And so I believed in my early Christian life that there was God and there was Jesus. And there was this thing called the Holy Spirit, but really didn't understand or have a concept of what that was really about or what it meant for the Christian faith. So I grew up like that, and I started thinking about this, and as a pastoral team we were talking about how many people would have that same experience or a different experience in terms of their engagement or understanding of the importance of the Holy Spirit to the Christian's faith and how we can rely on him to help us. So we're looking, the first question or the first book is titled up there on the board, and it is, I've got Jesus, why do I need the Holy Spirit? And you know, Jesus himself, let me go backwards, and Cam sort of alluded to it already, in Genesis 1 verse 2, it talks about God's Holy Spirit hovering over the water. It's in Genesis 1 verse 2. So from the beginning, the Holy Spirit has been there. And do we recognize that? When we hear the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, it's referring, in this case, God's Spirit, it's referring to the Holy Spirit. So from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit was there. And then we go in and we have a look at John 14, verse 16, and Acts 1, verses 4 to 5. And these are verses where Jesus himself is talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking and he reminds people that another advocate will come. Another advocate will come and take my place. What is an advocate? Who can tell me what an advocate is? I put you on the spot, haven't I? Come on, all you teachers. An interceder. Speaks for you, yes? So someone that is going to step in and speak for you and protect you and will step up and say, hey, you know what? Nicole's not a bad person. She's actually quite okay. The interceder will step into places and interject on our behalf, which is great to have somebody like that, because I know that I need that in my life, someone to intercede. So what does that look like in our Christian lives? I've got a bit of an analogy here. Eb, can you come and help me? I haven't asked Eb this, but I was practicing this on some people this week. Just hold that, Eb. And I was trying to think of an analogy of, well, how does the Holy Spirit work and look like? So I came up with this idea, and I ran it past a few people. Who likes milkshakes? I love milkshakes, and I've got a son that loves milkshakes, and he's already said to me, can I have it? But he might just have to wait a bit. Now, I didn't actually check this. I just wondered if the thing will be on it. Oh, look at that. I haven't got enough hands. Never do this at home, kids. Sweet. So, we are like this milkshake. And come over here where people can see. Do you want to follow me here? They won't bite you, I promise. And it's just plain milk, nothing exciting. I actually like plain milk. Nothing exciting, just plain, bland, ordinary, no flavour. That can be us, I guess, in some ways, before we get to know Christ. Then we ask Jesus into our lives and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives that the moment we ask Jesus to come into our life, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. Now, this sauce, flavouring, represents the Holy Spirit, and it's red. Yeah, make it nice and get it in there. Eb, come on now. I reckon that'll be all right. Let's have a look, Eb. Can you move your hands? Yep. Now, sometimes, I know, it's close, Ross, but sometimes, don't go away, Eb, but sometimes, yes, you might have to. So sometimes in our lives, I think when we ask Jesus and we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, it's a bit like this milkshake. What happens is we ask the Holy Spirit in our lives, but it sits at the bottom. It actually doesn't add any flavour. Hold that in. It actually doesn't add any flavour to our lives. It just sits there until we actually acknowledge and engage what the Holy Spirit does in our life. And once we understand what the Holy Spirit does in our lives and start to engage it, just take a little sip, Eb. Just so, oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Actually, I'll do it here. Oh. Whoops. It's good. Nothing like an analogy working. And as we start to engage with the Holy Spirit in our lives and we recognise the importance, and then what happens is the Holy Spirit that sits at the bottom starts to infect our lives, make our lives truer. Look, I'm going to have to stir pretty hard here. But what's happened is that the Holy Spirit now has, once we allow it, hasn't completely, but it has changed the flavour of the milk. And just as the Holy Spirit can change the flavour of the milk, it can change the way that you live your life if we allow him to do so. But we've got to allow him to do so. And the question is, thanks, Eb. I think Chris is up the back there. Are you up the back there, Chris? Raise your hand, Chris. He'll love a strawberry milkshake. If you'd like to take that to him, he'll probably drink that for me. It's good to have props that are going to drink milk and get rid of milk. But as we, our lives at times, and my life, and maybe your life, is a bit like that milkshake, you know, where the syrup sits at the bottom and when the Holy Spirit just sits there and does nothing. Does nothing. And that's not what the Holy Spirit is meant to be about. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. The Spirit gives life. Isn't that a wonderful truth that we can hold on to? You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. We who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour of our life have the Holy Spirit living within us. He is life. He gives life. But do we live life to the fullest? You know, as we sit there, and I was thinking, reflecting on myself again, as I was sitting there and all those years of going to church, you know, I, I sat there and I believed what I was being told from the front. And Nick and I, we visited many different churches. And as we went and we engaged in many different churches, still the Holy Spirit wasn't spoken about. It was almost a taboo subject, you know, something that's over there in the darkness. And I remember when I was at Abermain, if we were even to talk about the Holy Spirit, we would have been seen as rebels, people that were taking the word, the truth, out of context. I can see Nicole smiling at me as I say that. Is that your experience? But I never knew, understood the truth. I sat in a chair just like you, someone preaching to me, telling me things, and I didn't examine it for myself. And I encourage you not to believe what people say to you from the front, but examine it for yourself. Examine God's word for yourself. And you may have been a Christian for a while and you might go, yeah, but I don't know if I'm connected or I've heard the Holy Spirit. And I understand that because it is a difficult thing to understand because he's not walking right here next to you. He's inside you. Aren't we lucky to have a living God? A loving God that wants sent his advocate down to live inside us, to walk alongside us in our lives. Isn't that fantastic? But part of that means that we've got to look different to the world. And in this chapter in Galatians, it talks about, up the top, it talks about giving in to the flesh, the nature of our sinful flesh nature. Whatever I'm saying there, gives into all these things that are of the world. We give into self, we give into temptation, we give into sexual impurities, we watch things, we listen to things, we do things that we shouldn't be involved in. And it's not until we come down to the bottom bit here where it outlines, if you've got your Bibles open, it outlines the things that should be if we're living a spirit-filled life of what we should be like. Joy, hope, peace. Aren't those the things that should separate us and make us different? You know, yesterday I was outside just doing some tidying up around the yard, and there's a neighbour on our left, when you're looking at our place on the left. I always said g'day and waved to them, but never had a chance to actually meet them. Go up and say g'day. We've been there for over 12 months. We've waved to them, very friendly, you know. But we haven't had a chance, just the way the yards are designed and high fences and trees and all sorts of things. But anyway, yesterday I had a chance to engage with this neighbour. He was outside polishing his car. And I thought, great, I'll get him to do mine. And so I started the conversation with him over the fence, and I walked around and he was polishing up his car and told me a little bit about himself. And then he said, oh, what do you do? I thought, sweet. I said, oh, I'm the pastor at Maitland Baptist Church. He said, ah. He said, we were wondering why you have so many people come out, park out the front of your place at night time, and then there's cars out the front of your place during the day, and then on Sundays we see you drive off in the morning and then come back, and then sometimes there's people with you, and then we see you drive off again at night, and we're sitting there going, I wonder what they're doing. And we had wondered, and what that looked like. And I went, oh, that's a nice observation. You know, it's great too that they're realizing there's something going on in our house. What is it? And so we need to live our lives in a way that will show the people that we are different. If we acknowledge that we've got the Holy Spirit living in us, shouldn't we look different to the non-Christian? Shouldn't we look different to the person that doesn't know and doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? I know plenty of Christians non-Christians, that I look at them and I go, wow, they are living such a good life. You know, they don't murder, they don't swear, they don't drink, they don't, you know, they pay their taxes, they do all the right things in life. And sometimes I look at them and I go, man, they're living a life that is so much fuller than mine. Do you feel that way at times? Do you feel that sense of, man, I may not be good enough, but only because if we rely on Jesus and His Holy Spirit, can we actually be different? Not in our own strength. Now, I've asked some people to got some Bible readings for me. So we're going to start with Ross. Ross is keen to read his big passage for me. I'll give him a second, then I'm going to go to Alan. And then Mrs. Goff. There she is. You ready?
This is Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
So if we are full of the Holy Spirit, what are we supposed to be full of? Hope. What a beautiful truth that is for us, to be filled with hope. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I doubt. Yeah? In my weakness, I doubt. I forget that I've got a living God living inside me through Jesus, through that wonderful gift that Him dying on the cross, He sent His Holy Spirit down to die for us, and we have hope in that. Alan.
This is from Romans 8, 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
Beautiful. So what's that verse talking about there again? Interceding, our hope, our weakness. These verses are in the Bible for you to explore and to understand. They've always been there. Lucky last, Mrs. Goff.
This is from Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
They prayed, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke God's word boldly. Like up here, there's a list of things that we should have in our lives if we believe in Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Like that, we shouldn't be weak, we should be strong. And those verses and many, many other verses in the Bible cover off this sense of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together from the beginning of time till today. We can rest and be assured in that space. We can be rest and assured that Jesus died on the cross for us, and through Him we can have the Holy Spirit. And He recognizes that we couldn't do it alone. Hence why they've sent the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us. And isn't that a wonderful truth for us as Christians and brothers and sisters of faith, to know that, to explore that? And as I said, we looked at Jesus' words last term and how truthful they were and how strong and how rich. And this term we're going to look at the Holy Spirit and how He works with us and lives in us here on earth and gives us life and hope. Isn't that the stuff that we want? Isn't that the stuff that we should be proclaiming to the world boldly? The Holy Spirit's already there. Just like that milkshake, we have actually got to engage the Holy Spirit. And the more that we stir and pray, as we've heard in the Word, as we pray and we stir up the Holy Spirit in our lives, the richer our lives will be, the more flavor our lives will have. Do you want that? Or do you want to live a life where the syrup just sits at the bottom and doesn't add any flavor, and you go, I'm a Christian, but there's no fruit of that. There's no proof that you don't look any different to the people in the world that may be living for themselves, living for the flesh. That's my challenge today. I encourage you to get into God's Word and check these truths for yourself. You may have been sitting here for many years, or you may have been in church all your life, and you haven't truly understood the Holy Spirit in your life. And you know, the modern church, as we look around, if you were talking to a lot of different pastors and across the world, and you see what's going on, they'd all say that the church is lost. People are lost. Why are we lost as a church? Because we don't understand the strength that we have in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus and in God. We imitate the world too much. We don't imitate Him. I'm going to move into a time of communion. And what a great opportunity it is for us just to reflect on your life and your relationship. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. And He died, and He talked about it in another passage, and I'm not sure who's preaching on this, but He talked on another passage where, you know, it's better if I go. It's better if I go, because they'll allow the Holy Spirit to come. And so He died on the cross for us, knowing that the Holy Spirit was coming to take His place on here on earth with us. I want you just to reflect on your life now, to spend some time reflecting on your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what is your life look like? Is it full of the world, or is it full of the Spirit, or do we need to be refreshed in that space, and how do we do that? I'll be over somewhere, either over there or over here. If I can pray with you, or you just want to twist my ear on something I've said, or something you want some clarity around, please come and find me. I'm happy to pray with you, and there's others, of course, that are sitting around you that are also happy to do that. So I'm just going to break this bread, and when you're ready, come out and partake as a family of Christ, and we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross.